Yesterday we celebrated a very beautiful feast of a saint that I wanted to talk about today. She was a very great saint, and she had a very important role in the Gospels and in the life of our Lord. This is Saint Mary Magdalene, the penitent sinner. The Bible is not very clear about how she was a sinner. It's generally believed that she committed sins of impurity. But it says that she was well known in her city as a public sinner, so she must have been sinning on a grand scale before her conversion. But the story of her repentance and her subsequent devotion to our blessed Lord, even to his death on the cross and his resurrection, really make her one of the most appealing characters in the Gospels. In fact, our Lord gave her the incredible privilege of being the first person that he appeared to after his resurrection, with the exception, of course, of his Blessed Mother. We really don't know anything about her early life. The scriptures are a little vague about her background, although there is good reason to believe that she is the sister of Saint Lazarus and Saint Martha, who lived in Bethany. We don't know how she fell from grace. We must assume it was probably a gradual process. People very rarely become wicked overnight. Probably she became more and more attached to her own will and a spirit of independence and enjoyed the freedom of being able to do whatever she wanted. And one thing led to another until probably she woke up one morning and realized that everyone in town considered her a completely immoral person, and they were right about that. And this is her condition when we first hear of her in Scripture in the Gospel of Saint Luke. Shortly before we hear the story of her conversion, Saint Luke tells the story of how our Lord raised the son of the widow of Nain as he was being carried out to his grave. After this great miracle, our Lord went into the city, and he was invited to the house of one of the Pharisees who was named Simon. Our Lord accepted this invitation. Being God, he knew this great event that was going to happen at this feast. In fact, he was secretly preparing the soul of Saint Mary Magdalene for her dramatic repentance with actual grace. He had a great compassion for her miseries, and he enlightened her mind with his grace to see the terrible misery that she was living in. And she started to hate the ingratitude that she had shown to God and the evil manner in which she lived. While this was taking place, our Lord went to the banquet that he was invited to with great joy to wait for the coming of this poor sinner to weep tears of contrition at his feet. This great sorrow in the soul of Saint Mary Magdalene kept growing stronger and stronger. She started out being horrified at her sins and afraid of the punishment of hell. And from there, she went on to consider how much God had loved her and given her so many graces, and how she had squandered them, and how she had offended God repeatedly, until this sorrow in her soul became so great that she headed straight to the one person who could free her of this great burden of sorrow and guilt, the guilt of her sins. At that moment, she went into the house of Simon the Pharisee, and she started weeping at the feet of our Lord. She didn't say anything. There were no words that she could have said that would have expressed the sorrow she had when she looked at the terrible ruin that was her life. She didn't make any excuses. She didn't downplay what she had done. Rather, she let her tears speak for her, and they said all that needed to be said. She's a perfect model of true penitence because she didn't stop to think about whether that was the right time or place to repent of her sins. She didn't wait to talk to our Lord privately after the feast. She didn't say, "Well, I'm going to do this as soon as I can, but I have to get my affairs in order. I have to get out of my sinful living situation," or anything like that. In fact, if you look at her behavior, it looks as though she thought that even a single extra minute of delay was out of the question. It was intolerable. She instantly cut all ties with her sinful life. She didn't even go and say goodbye to her fellow sinners. And not only this, but she wasn't afraid of what people would think. She went into this party where the guests were, in fact, not just regular people, but they were the heads of society. They were the Pharisees, the moral and the political leaders of the people. They were the people that everyone looked up to and considered to be holy, even though they themselves looked down on everyone else, even decent people. Imagine the disgust that they had for someone who was known to be a sinner. And St. Mary Magdalene was aware of all of this. In fact, that is exactly what happened. The Pharisees reacted with horror at her presence in their midst. But this was a very good way for Mary Magdalene to turn away from her sins, because just as her sins had been very public, her repentance had to be very public as well. And this is generally true. If someone has committed a lot of very public sins, then when they repent, it's not enough for them just to go to confession. In some way, they have to make their repentance known publicly by giving a public example of virtue and of prayer and of doing good works. They have to make sure that people know that they regret the evil they've done. So St. Mary Magdalene wept tears of grief and allowed her tears to fall onto our Lord's feet. And then she wiped his feet with her hair. And then she poured a very expensive and sweet ointment on his feet. All of her natural gifts that she had previously used to lead people into sin, her eyes, her beautiful hair, her money, she now used them to express her contrition. And since she wiped our Lord's feet with her hair, that's why in Catholic art, she's the only woman saint who is shown with her hair uncovered. When we see pictures and statues of her with her beautiful long hair, it reminds us of what she did with her hair in the great act of her conversion. As our Lord saw her doing this, he was filled with an immense joy at the conversion of this sinner. This was the entire reason he had become man, and the entire reason that he died on the cross, in order to bring souls to himself, like this poor woman at his feet. But of course, according to Scripture, Simon the Pharisee, whose house this was in, didn't see this the same way. He was outraged, like the other Pharisees, and he thought that our Lord couldn't possibly be a prophet, because if he were a prophet, he would know that Mary Magdalene was a sinner, and he would drive her away like the Pharisees would have done. But even though he didn't say anything out loud, our Lord could read his mind, of course. And so he told Simon to think about someone who has two debtors, one who owes him a tiny amount of money, and one who owes him an enormous amount. Our Lord said that if this person forgives both of these debtors, which of the two will love him more? And Simon the Pharisee said that obviously the debtor who owed a lot of money would love this generous person more than the one who owed only a little bit. And our Lord said, basically, he said, "Well, there you go. This woman has been forgiven a lot. Therefore, she loves me more than you do, because in your mind, you think that you have not committed very many sins." And he went on to chastise this Pharisee for having insulted him when he came into his house. He said, our Lord said, "When I came to your house, you didn't wash my feet. but this woman has, and so on, to show this Pharisee's hypocrisy. And finally, he said to Saint Mary Magdalene, "Thy sins are forgiven thee." And it says that everyone at the table was amazed and said, "Who is this who can forgive sins?" What is particularly interesting about the story of Saint Mary Magdalene is that she came to our Lord without a motive of self-interest. She was one of the only people in Scripture who did that. Thousands of people came to our Lord asking for all kinds of things during his public life. But in the Gospels, almost all of them were asking for a cure for themselves or for someone else, or they were asking to be freed of a demon, or cured of a physical deformity or an illness. But Saint Mary Magdalene was the only person we read about who was in perfect health and came to ask for nothing else than the forgiveness of her sins. That was all she wanted. And that was all she needed. And even though we ask for many, many things from our Lord too, as we should, in the same way, the forgiveness of our sins really is all we need too. After her conversion, Saint Mary Magdalene became a devoted follower of our Lord. Her love for him was so powerful and so overwhelming that she seems to be one of the only people in the Gospels who seems to be completely devoid of fear. We see that in the story of her conversion, of course. And we see it later on, too, during our Lord's Passion. When all the other apostles had run away, she followed our Lord all the way to the top of Mount Calvary, to the crucifixion, without any fear at all. And then, after our Lord's death, she went to his tomb, even though she would have thought that the soldiers were still there guarding the tomb, but she wasn't afraid of them. She went to find our Lord and to pray at his tomb. And then, when she found it empty, she went right up to the first person that she saw there in the garden, who, as we know, was our Lord, but that she thought was the gardener. And she started demanding to know where our Lord was. She had an absolutely heroic personality. She's a real inspiration for us. Saint Mary Magdalene is someone that we can all relate to ourselves. We have all sinned the way she has, and we can look up to her as an example of how to be sorry for our sins. We also need to kneel at the feet of our Lord and weep tears for what we have done and beg for his forgiveness, while at the same time, of course, having a great love for him and a great hope in his mercy. We have to remember that our Lord said, when Saint Mary Magdalene was kneeling at his feet, he said, "He who is forgiven much has to love much." It was like an admonition to Saint Mary Magdalene, and for us too. We have been forgiven so much, maybe more than Saint Mary Magdalene herself. Therefore, we also have to love much. But if we weep tears of sorrow for our sins, we will receive the same pardon from our Lord that she did, and our Lord will say to us too, "Thy sins are forgiven thee." Saint Mary Magdalene is a unique saint in many ways. I already said she's the only woman saint whose hair is allowed to be shown in Catholic art. She's also the only woman saint, except Our Lady, on whose feast day the Creed is said during Mass. This is a very ancient tradition, and the reason for this is that the Creed is said on the feast of saints who had an important role in spreading the faith. So the Creed is said on the feasts of the Doctors of the Church. It's said, of course, on the feasts of all the Apostles, on the feasts of the Angels, since they bring us messages from God, and so on. And it's said on the feast of Saint Mary Magdalene because she announced the resurrection of Christ to the apostles. She brought faith in the resurrection to all of them. As far as what she did after our Lord's resurrection, we don't know for certain, although there are traditions that we have received. There is an ancient tradition that she and St. Lazarus and St. Martha were put into a ship without sails or a rudder, which was pushed into the Mediterranean Sea and was miraculously guided across the Mediterranean to southern France, where they landed at Marseille. And St. Lazarus became the first bishop of that ancient city that goes back even before Roman times. And sure enough, the relics of these saints were found eventually in that region, in Provence in the 13th century. The people who found their relics knew that it was them because of inscriptions on their tombs when they discovered their tombs. There's a church over the site where the bodies were discovered, and St. Mary Magdalene is buried under the high altar of this church. Although her skull is kept in a beautiful, but maybe by modern standards, a slightly macabre reliquary in the exact spot where the three sibling saints were found. A few miles from this place, there is another church that is called the Church of the Holy Cave, over a cave that is believed to be where St. Mary Magdalene spent the rest of her life doing penance. And this site has been a great pilgrimage spot since almost the beginning of the church. Of all the saints in the gospel, I think St. Mary Magdalene is someone that should hold a special place in all of our hearts. As I said, we all need mercy the way she did. And our Lord is as generous and as loving towards us when we repent as he was with her. Let us weep tears and do penance and not go back to our former sins. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen.